Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
At the weekend, we learned that the amount of unsecured debt taken on by consumers here surged to a record $2.5 billion last year. Most of that was spent on cars and home improvements. But are we back to the crazy levels of borrowing in the Celtic Tiger era? That comes as the foreign banks based here express confidence in Ireland as a base for investment. Employment by the international banking sector was up by a fifth on pre-COVID levels. Brian Hayes is the Chief Executive of the Banking and Payments Federation Ireland. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Joe.
Can we start with consumer borrowing, please, Brian? Unsecured lending, record high last year. Celtic Tiger levels of borrowing. Any need for concern?
Well, I think this is secondary lending in the main. You're talking about, on average, 11 or 12,000 euro that people are taking out for a car loan, for a holiday, for communions, confirmations, all that kind of stuff. But let's be clear about what the level is now vis-a-vis what it was. The level of household debt is down by 50%, 5-0.
That's a lot of deleveraging.
In the last 10 years. Incomes are up 22% in the last 4 years.
Real incomes or just nominal?
No, real incomes are up by 22% in the last 4 years. And I think the other big thing that is different to 17 years ago is the fact that we have 160 billion on deposit. So I think in that context, there's one other amazing stat I always tell people. Last year, the level of mortgage debt in Ireland, new mortgages written, was about 13.5 billion. What was it 17 years ago? 41 billion. So this is a very different landscape in terms of risk. It's a different landscape for lending. And I think the point is that on this area of secondary lending, for your green loan, for your car loan and other things like that, it's very prudential in terms of the level of risk that is there.
The average amount borrowed to buy a home, it was 341,000 in the last most recent data, up by 151,000 in the last 10 years. That is a sizable jump, though, don't you think?
But it's a function of increasing prices. And as I said to you, the total quantum of new mortgage lending is a percentage of what it was 17 years ago. That's largely due to the macroprudential rules in a circumstance where banks or non-bank lenders can only lend to certain levels of income and levels of debt.
So a cap on the multiples. Let's move to the international banking sector in Ireland. They brought out a collective survey very recently about doing business in Ireland. They seem to be happy. They're hiring more people. Are they a tiny bit nervous about the geopolitical backdrop, though?
Well, I think everyone's nervous in a circumstance where trade war is now being spoken about so clearly. The international banking sector is a huge part of the banking story in Ireland. 40% of the people who work in banks this morning in this country work in international banks. They do incredibly important things for their group internationally, but they're also part of deals across the country and across Europe and in third countries. They are providing very significant loans for large corporates. They're doing treasury work. They're doing investment work. So it's a huge part of Ireland's finance story. Many of them have been here for 30 years or so. If you take a bank like Citibank, it's here in excess of 40 years. Bank of America,
they're building
Barclays.
A new major building along
they
the
are.
Years.
So the point I would make is that, you know, these banks have invested in Ireland, are here for the long term. In the worst of years, Joe, when the crash happened, they actually continued to put jobs each year, additional hires. And our survey shows last week when we produced it that 60% of them are confident enough this year about extending their business lines, and 40% of them are going to have new hires. So that's a confidence in a circumstance where I suppose geopolitical tensions are as strong as they are.
One thing they're probably not happy, though, is regulation. There's a lot of regulation, not just from Ireland, but Europe-wide and globally.
Well, I think, you know, Europe is known for its regulation. If I get one fact, I mean, the banking package over the past 5 years has doubled what we call the level two and level three actions. These are typically RTSs, regulated delegated acts. They're QFAs, they're dear CEO letters. That's doubled over the past 5 years.
But two phone books or something.
It's 1,500 pages of text.
It's about five phone books.
Banking regulation is complicated, it's dense, and I think there's an opportunity now to start regulating for growth. There's an opportunity for Europe if we get our act together on this, because primarily, you know, the US capital markets are the largest markets in the world. They're the most liquid. They're the deepest. If you take the market cap of US banks, they are 2.6 times higher than the market cap of European banks. And the bigger the bank, the more lending it can do. So consequently, Europe is an opportunity. to get its act together. And I think part of that has got to be a reset on regulation, what the Europeans called simplification. We've started to see it on company reporting now.
Or Draghi report implementation.
Well, this is the point. This was the president of the ECB. And this is the man who said we need to have, 800 billion of new investment. We can't do that without the Irish and the European banking sector. So Europe relies on its banks. So we need, I think, a regulation for growth, which is about attracting capital. There's a really important phrase in banking, capital goes where it's welcome and it stays where it's well treated. Now, capital, I think, has an opportunity to move more from America to European Union, particularly if we get things like securitization right in the context of capital markets. And if we're going to do that, we've got to treat it. But it's not going to be done by over-regulation. And I think we've learned the lesson of the crash. We've got to make sure that the really hard-won resilience we have now remains.
So what should be scrapped? What should be simplified to make attract all this capital?
So there's a certain thing called gold plating, whereby we have an EU regulation which has supposedly to be harmonised, yet what we call non-local regulators then impose additional regulations on top of that. We've got to look at that again.
Central Bank of Ireland has been accused of that.
Lots of different central banks, not just in Ireland, have been accused of that. But there's an opportunity to harmonise that on a constant basis. There's also an opportunity to get all of the regulators around the table and to be very clear who's doing what. We have in Europe a very complicated regulatory system. The ECB, the SSM, the ISMA. European Banking Authority, ESMA, EIOPA, it goes on and on and on. And so there's an opportunity to reset that, to make sure everyone's doing what
bring
they should be doing.
Bring everything to Frankfurt?
Well, a lot of things are already in Frankfurt. Yeah. Most of our SSM regulated banks are regulated through Frankfurt now. But there's an opportunity, as I said, to try to get that regulatory piece right for the future of simplicity, efficiency and cost. I mean, the cost of regulation is a massive cost for banks now, as it is for insurers or the funds industry.
Okay, but there are political decisions to be taken as well. I don't think the French would give up ESMA very easily in Paris.
It's not about giving up anything. It's about, I mean, I see the UK government last week produced a new plan to reduce administrative regulation, the cost of administrative regulation, by 25%. Over the course of their 5 years in government. Now, whether they do that is another matter.
It's easier to declare it, right?
Yeah, and we've had there's been a good initiative here by Minister Burke on competitiveness, where he wants to reduce red tape and the cost of regulation. The cost of regulation is a barrier in many respects, not just to entry, but to also what we can actually lend in terms of new capital. So there's an opportunity to get this right, if we get it right, because I think, you know, across the banking sector, 85 to 95% of the regulation is something that we support. But there are things around the edges that could make a difference in terms of our competitive advantage.
Do you think the banking sector is appreciated in this country?
Whether it's appreciated or not is not the point, Joe. I don't think...
Well, my question is, do you think the ordinary punter appreciates banks, or do they still see them as wrongdoers?
I think there is going to be a long, long time before there's any kind of major change in terms of attitude. But I think it's our function as the primary financial services group within the banking and payments area to argue why this is important. I mean, you know, we are part of the solution. The Irish banks are part of the solution for lots of problems that we face on housing construction, on how people can get mortgages, on how we support SMEs. That solution piece, which we're talking about at our conference tomorrow on the retail banking conference in the Mansion House, is front and centre. And we've got to make sure that people understand that, but also that public policymakers know that we are part of the solution in terms of the future.
Brian, thanks very much for coming in. That's Brian Hayes, the Chief Executive of the BPFI.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.